Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. Last Perek, we discussed how Egyptian society would crumble and how this would awaken a recognition of God for them and their ally, Ashur. We referenced the miracle with Sancheirav numerous times throughout our learning. After Sancheirav exiled the northern kingdom, he headed south with the dream of taking over Yerushalayim. As Sancheirav approached closer to the holy city, Malchus Yehuda panicked and turned to Egypt for help. Yeshayahu critiqued Malchus Yehuda for this move, while the Assyrian army made fun of them for their attempt to save themselves. But before coming to Yerushalayim, Sancheirav redirected his efforts to deal with another threat, Africa and its alliance with Egypt and Kush. Before leaving, Sancheirav boasted that he will return to finish the job and take over Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, Sancheirav and his Assyrian army defeated Egypt and Kush. As promised, Sancheirav headed back towards Yerushalayim, hungry to finish the job. But Hashem brought an incredible miracle that left them all wiped out in one night, a miracle we mentioned several times. In this parak, Yeshayahu foresees the defeat of the Assyrians over Egypt, who Malchus Yehuda put their trust and reliance in, despite Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu's urging them not to. Yeshayahu is essentially warning Malchus Yehuda that you plan to put your faith into the hands of Egypt, but they will prove to be unreliable. Yeshayahu will try to convince the people to solely put their trust in Hashem. Our parak begins by giving us a time frame of when Yeshayahu got this prophecy. Bishnas bo tartan ashdoda bishloach oso Sargon melech Ashur. In the year that Sargon, king of Ashur, sent Tartan towards Ashdod. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 94a tells us that Sargon is one of eight names given to Sancheirav. Tartan was his general. Hashem then instructs Yeshayahu, Lech upitachta hasak mi'al masnecha. Go and open your sackcloth from your sides. Venalcha tachalot mi'al raglecha. And you should remove your shoes from your feet. Vayaaskin, haloch arom vayachif. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Clearly, Yeshayahu was wearing sackcloth. He was mourning over the loss of northern Israel, 10 tribes kicked out of their homes and homeland. Here Hashem is telling Yeshayahu to go even further, remove the sackcloth altogether, and walk around naked without shoes. Vayomer Hashem, ka'asher halach avdi Yeshayahu, arom v'yachif. Hashem said, just as Yeshayahu, my servant, walked naked and barefoot, shalosh shanim os umofes, for 3 years it will be a sign and a wonder, al Mitzrayim v'al Kush, about Egypt and Kush. Before we understand the symbolism of this request, the command itself is quite shocking, and there are various opinions as to what this really means. Yabarbanel takes it literally. Yeshayahu was asked to go around unclothed and without shoes for 3 years to make a point to Am Yisrael. The Ramban, in his commentary to Parshas Lech Lecha, chapter 12, verse 6, explains that sometimes people in the Tanakh are asked to do something, a symbolic act, to bring a potential decree to fulfillment. When Avram was asked to walk the entire Israel, it was cementing the decree for his children to inherit and live in the land. Many Nevi'im throughout Nach were asked to do something, shoot an arrow, lie on their side, and here to walk naked for 3 years to secure a decree's actualization. The Gemara in Yuma 77a argues that it would be demeaning for a Navi to walk undressed for 3 years in public. The Gemara argues the decree meant bebegadim beluyim hachaname bina'alim hametulayim, to walk with tattered clothing and torn shoes, not to literally go clothed naked. The Malbim argues that this entire decree was meant rak yom echad o sha'ak tana bebeso. The Malbim argues that it was all meant just for one day, or even a small amount of time in his own home. The Radak argues that this request is not possible. To have a Navi walk around naked, even for 1 hour, is a disgrace. So the Radak argues, Hakol haya b'mar'eh hanavua. It was all a vision. His prophecy was a vision of him walking around naked for 3 years barefoot. The Abarbanel takes deep issue with the Radak's approach, arguing that this mission is Shluchei Hakel, the mission of Hashem, and is therefore a mitzvah to do despite being difficult. Notice that in our pasuk, Hashem calls Yeshayahu Avdi Yeshayahu, my servant Yeshayahu. There are only several people in Tanakh given this special title, like Moshe, Avraham, Yitzchak, and David. Many Mefarshim argue that being an Eved Hashem means to give one's entire self to Hashem. Yeshayahu obeying this request certainly warrants the title of Eved Hashem. This decree is forewarning and cementing when the Assyrians will take over Egypt and Cush and cause them humiliation and shame, forcing the civilians to walk undressed with disgrace. But what point was Yeshayahu trying to send to Klal Yisrael? The first is to represent the Devar Hashem, the prophecy of Hashem about Egypt and Cush, so that when it actually occurs, everyone will know it was all from Hashem. Second is to teach the Jewish people not to rely on Egypt when Ashur heads towards them. Egypt will soon be taken over, so do not confuse who to put your trust in. In short, put your trust in Hashem. Third is to teach a Kal Vachomer. If we feel this kind of pain about tragedies dealt to the nations of the world, acting in mourning for them, how much more so for our Jewish brethren, when they go through hard times? Finally is the idea of Midah Keneged Midah, that Hashem gives us consequences that directly reflect our actions. Mitzrayim came from Cham, the son of Noach. When Noach was drunk, he undressed himself, but his sons covered him up to protect his dignity. Cham, however, looked directly at his father's nakedness and did not cover him. The Medrash argues that for this, they deserve to be humiliated as well, to be undressed in public and lose their dignity. Va'amar Yoshiv Ha'i Hazeh Bayom Ha'hu, and those who live on this island will say on that day, Hine ko mabatinu asher nasnu sham le'ezra. Behold, if this is the state of those to whom we looked for help, lihinatzal mipnei malach Ashur, to be saved from the king of Ashur, ve'ich nimali tanachnu, so how can we escape? Once Egypt will be humiliated, the Jewish people will realize they cannot rely on them for help. They are then forced to ask themselves who they can rely on. Note that Malchus Yehuda and Yerushalayim are being called Ha'i, an island. While the rest of the nation was exiled, here is an island of survivors. But perhaps deeper, the land of Israel is an isolated island that does not run on nature's rules like the rest of the world does. Its sole support is Hashem. It is a land, Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, that Hashem constantly watches. The Abarbanel sees Israel and the Jewish people as an island in the world, separate and on their own because of the disinterest and sometimes outright hate by the surrounding nations. The island is surrounded by waters, and its survival is but a miracle. Malchus Yehuda turns to Mitzrayim for help, but Mitzrayim needed to fall to prove an important idea to Am Yisrael. This point is powerfully said in the words from Slichos. Ein lanu al milahisha ein kim alacha avinu shebashamayim. We have no one to rely on other than you, our Father in heaven. The land of Israel and the Jewish people live by a different set of rules. This is the secret to their immortality. Thank you for studying together and the last 20 chapters together. Le'iloi Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender. It has been an incredible opportunity to learn with such an amazing community of women.